So what we've done so far is we've made things very simple. What we've said is, look, there's one simple issue over here. Is a cheskes aguf stronger than a cheskes mamon, or is a cheskes mamon stronger than a cheskes aguf? Machlokes Rav Gamliel, Rav Yehoshua, even though Bori Veshema sure had an awful lot to say about it back in the beginning of the Masechta, Rashi completely leaves out the Bori Veshema issues. And the other Rishonim say, no, wait a minute. I mean, it's obviously it's all predicated on the assumption that she's saying, look, I know when I got this mum, and he's saying, well, I don't. So it's always going to be a Bori Veshema. Okay. But that already complicates the matter. Now, the one additional issue that we were talking about in terms of Chazaka was just Tosus's insight, which he brings from the Rajva, that the question of the additional psychology of whether an Adam would be Shotev HaKos without being Bedekid is also operative in the Mishnah, and it's just an additional insight. It's not enough on its own, but it's an additional insight into why we would have said Vishutavia, or we would have said Vishutabal, just to tell me this Chiddush, that's all. That even though she's already Vishutabal, and you would say so, if that's the case, he was Savar, he knew about it, he was Kibel, because Einanam Shotev HaKos, Gamashmoni could still tie that against he has a chazaka that it's his money, and he would still be able to time. You would have thought. But now it's from him. Okay, so says Rabbi Lazar. So Rava wants to explain that you shouldn't think that Rabbi Lazar is talking in absolutes. Rabbi Yehoshua agrees that there exists a type of chazaka called a cheskes aguf, and that it's a valid chazaka which sometimes will impact even the uke mon monai becheskes moreh, the chazaka of the ownership of the money. But here, where it's direct, there's nothing else with it, and it's direct, a cheskes aguf against a cheskes mamon, it wouldn't be a cheskes mamon, which is very strong, there Rabbi Yehoshua would have agreed, and I'll bring you a raya that he admits that a cheskes aguf is meaningful, the Tanya. Im beheret kodem le'seyar lavan tameh, im seyar lavan kodem le'beheret tohor. We have over here a mitzorah, appears before a kohen, shows him a negat saras, and that negat saras has in it white hair, which is a simen, that this is indeed tameh saras. Well, if the white hair was there before, it's completely irrelevant. But if the hair changed color because of the nega, then it's very relevant. And that makes him a mukhlat. How about if we don't know? Safek. So there, the Tanakhama says, well, if it's a safek, you have to deal with what's in front of you. You're looking at a bear, a seilavan, you'll have to assume it's tummy. And of all things, Rabbi Yehoshua comes along and says, well, I don't know about that. Keha? It got lighter? What does that mean? Okay, lighter in terms of negative, darker in terms of skin color. My keha, or my rabba keha, v'tahar. It's as if the nega is no longer as white and bright as it was. And if that would have happened, and no longer would have been a mar, nega would have been tahar. And so, Rabbi Yehoshua is the one who says, look, the guy once upon a time didn't have this problem. There's a change in his body, okay? He now has seyar lavan. You don't know whether seyar lavan was here before or not. So therefore, I say, look, Teha, why should we make it tummy? So in other words, this body had a cheskas taira. Why should we assume now that we're going to change it? You want to prove that it's wrong? What do you mean? I thought Rabbi Yehoshua is only talking about the strength of a chazaka moment. No, that's just that a cheskas aguf is not strong enough to be motzi from a cheskas moment. Doesn't mean there's no power to a cheskas aguf. Here's Dr. Rabbi Yehoshua is the one who says there is. Okay, so that's the girsa that we had, Teha with the chof. The other girsa that Rashi brings from Moshe Darshan is keha with a kuf, like we have in Haggadah Shel Pesach, hakeh et shinav. Over there it means stand his teeth on edge, right? So but over here, the idea over here is keha is the sense of, look, I am not going to put up with this. You know, you're getting me really upset. You're wrong. It makes no sense to say that as Suffolk we would make him tummy. Okay. In any event, but Rabbi Yehoshua is saying that it's tahor.
Why is he having it? You have it right in front of you.
Let's not talk about that yet, okay? That too is an issue that we'll raise later. Rava says, some of the years of Rava, that, look, I don't believe that the Mishnah just accidentally brought up two cases, one in which it's in Rishus of the Av, one in which it's in Rishus of the Baal, and that's just to give a greater sense of the power of the real issue, but in itself is a red herring. I believe that's the issue. That makes all the difference in the world. No reason to say there's a machlokas tanoim. It's always going according to Rabbi Gamliel. This is the way Rashi learns. We'll see there other Rishonim. I'll explain in a minute what the question would be. The other Rishonim we're talking about Shema B'Shema, not Bari B'Shema. Therefore, the whole thing is different. But let's take Rashi's approach, that we have the same case as we had before, and nonetheless, it makes a difference where she is. That's crazy. What difference could it make where she is? I'll tell you, says Rabbi. The meaning is that we say, look, in the ratio, we say, kan nimtzu kan hayu, And in the Sefer, we also say, Kan nimtzu v'kan hayu. Remember that the issue over here is that we're trying to define what exactly her status is in terms of the Baal's Hakpada on this mu. And in one case, she's in the Rishus of the Father, and we're trying to establish where this thing took place. Now you're saying, well, who cares where it took place? But that's not really true. Because where a suffix is neilad is where it is that we have to talk about its chazaka. We see later. Now there's a very, what appears to be fatal problem with this analysis. Because the Mishnah did not say whether it was, and he has to bring a raya that it was there in the Rishus of the Av. He had to bring a raya that was there before he gave her kedushin. But according to what you're saying, that's irrelevant. All he should have to do is prove, look, somebody saw this mum before I took it to the chuppah. So we'll say, yes, oh, big deal. It happened after the kedushin. Oh, no, not according to you, Rabbi. According to you, it's in the Rishus of the Father, there's a cheskas hagof. That should determine that she, in fact, in other words, it should be known, and this is the Gemara's cash. Ask the Gemara, Esri, Abaya says to Rabbi, I don't get it. This is a way to explain the Mishnah. You're saying, Nichbis al Rishut Abal, Abal Tzarich Lavi Raya. But what's the Raya? In the Rishus of the husband. That, Shaloti Tares Hayopo Mumin Elu, Vayu Mikro Mekach Tod. So you see from there, the only time that we've got a problem is Ad Shaloti Tares In. The only, rather, that he can tell that he has a problem, is if he can prove that it was there before the Kedushin. But Misha Titares, if he proves it was there after the Kedushin, doesn't help him. Why doesn't it help him? If we know that the Mumin were in the Shus of the Av, and according to you, it's the place in which a thing was found that determines its status, so then we should say, look, there's Mumin over here in the Shus of the Father, Kan Nimtzu, Kan Hayu, this must be the place where they were. So if that's true, he doesn't have to prove that they were there from before the Kedushin, right? Why do you have to say, Atchalot Teres? I'll bring a riot. The day before the chuppah, when she was still in your house, these women were there, and since Rava says that, look, if I find it in a particular location, I can assume it was here, I'm assuming it was here before even the Kedushin a year ago. And yet the Mishnah doesn't say that. Or Marley answered Rava, look, the reason, you're right, theoretically, but over there it gets complicated. Because if all the Baal can do is prove that the Munin were here the day before he went to the chuppah, then he's got another thing that he's got to explain away. It's because if he shows it only after the Erison, over there we could say, Mishum de Ikalamema, Chazaka ein Adam Shote because Ella im Kain Botko. We have another Chazaka. Chazaka that people don't jump into a marriage. So since over here he went ahead and he married her, so then we say to him, very nice. You're proving that these women were there. That's great. But we think you knew that before. That's what we think. We think that you would not have run into a marriage without finding out about it. And therefore, Chazaka in Adam Shoteh Bakos, Elim Ken Botko, you went ahead, Ra'ah V'nit Payez. You knew about this before, and therefore you can't come along now. You suddenly decided you don't like her, you're pretending you don't have to give her a exhibit. We don't believe that. So therefore we've got two cases. Ask the verse of them the other way also, so what does it show? To say that, okay, but now I can prove that the women were there before the conviction. So what? If you're telling me that we're going to say to him, yes, you're right, it's true, but why did you take her to the chuppah? You didn't jump into that. You must have known and decided you wanted her anyway. Elamai, now you changed your mind. So you're trying to get out of paying the tshuva. We don't believe you. I mean, so, what? Once you're telling me that we have to worry about that, so then we should worry about that, whether he proves it was before the kedushin or after the kedushin, it's irrelevant. Why did he go to the chuppah unless he was ready to accept her? But we're getting there. Says Rabbi, you know something. That's true too. Ella Amrinan. No, I'm sorry, I've skipped it. Ella Amrinan Chazok in Adam Mitpayez B'Mumin. It must be because even though there is a Chazok that a person doesn't jump into a marriage, there's also a Chazok that a person who's marked on these kind of things is never going to learn not to.
And he's expressed it.
No. A person is not going to say, I'm a real stickler for warts, and all of a sudden say, well, it doesn't really matter. These are the type of things that are hang-ups. And they don't really get changed. And we don't say, therefore, that he wouldn't have jumped into the marriage unless he knew. Because on the other hand, we'd say, well, it's also unreasonable to say such a thing. So, but then that's true. Even though he took her, we should say the same thing even when it was Neulad. We know that it took place before. So, I mean, either way, you've got a chazaka against a chazaka. So let's cancel them out. Saying on the one hand, there's a chazaka, he wouldn't have jumped into the marriage. True. But on the other hand, there's a chazaka that people are not mavato on this kind of thing. So let's ignore that. We're back to your distinction, Rava. And you claim that it's kan nimtzu kan hayu. No. So then I don't understand what the moment of erison has to do with anything. The moment of erison is irrelevant. Why do you have to prove that it's before the Arison? What good is it going to do you to prove it before the Arison? Answers Rava, because you're forgetting something. Mishum d'Arsa. The reason we're going to say it over here, the difference over here is Mishum d'Ika Tarte Chazak. We have two separate Chazakas. We have the Meid Haguf Al Chazkato, the Chazaka She'in Adam Shotepakos Elin Kein Botko. If Mishum d'Arsa, we're going to bring a Raya that what the moment we're in the Shus of the Father. Okay, that's fine. But on the other hand, we have over here against that. We have the chazaka saguf, that she was not born with this woman. And we have a chazaka that you wouldn't have taken her, unless you knew. And therefore, let's put these two together and say that you're trying to get out of paying the ketuvah. So what are you going to say? Okay, but on the other hand, we have a chazaka, ein adam mechayes b'mumin. That's true too. But that's one against two. Because we have two chazakas over here to tell me that basically it's the Baal's responsibility. So what are you going to tell me why you also have the chazaka's mumin? Isn't that what you're going to scream at me? What do you mean, two? I mean, we have two very powerful chazakas. I have a chazaka that I'm the owner of this money for the ksuda, I, the Baal. And I have a chazaka that ain't adam mitpayes b'mumi, and therefore, you have two against two? So let's say I'm Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya. Ah! It's because of this that Rashi learns this again. That, of course, what Rav is saying is that everybody's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Gamliel. And that we completely ignore a cheskas moment, and this is Rashi's approach to the whole sugya. Let us strip the issue down to essentials. Is it a cheskas aguf that speaks to us with the dinim of a chazaka, or is it the chazaka of ownership of money that speaks to us in terms of chazaka? Once we strip it down to those essentials, then what that means is that if you're passing like Rabbi Gamliel, what you're saying is, you can effectively forget about the cheskas moment. In the conditions where we're dealing with the cheskas aguf, the cheskas moment is irrelevant. So that we're not even talking about. Now the only issue is, the psychological element of the chazakas that shed light on the nemunas of the taimens, right? So that, okay, that part is balanced. I mean, he ain't not on, that part is balanced. So what you're left with is a cheskas aguf, keneged a cheskas moment. That's it. We paskan like Rabbi Gamliel. Now we always go with the cheskas aguf. The cheskas aguf in this case is that she did not have those women until a later time. So unless he can show us otherwise, we are basically going to be taking that money away from him. And we're going to be collecting that sort of. Okay? All right. So Chodeh, you're left with Chodeh Mamakam Tarte. Chodeh Mamakam Tarte, Lo Amrina. We don't say two chazokas against one. Again, the real meaning of this, the way Rashi is learning is, first we deal with Cheskas Aguf, Keneged Cheskas Hamona. Then we're left with two antithetical psychological understandings. And therefore, we basically have the two against one. Cheskas Aguf is powerful. And Keneged, the other problem of Ein Adam Shoteh Bakos Elo Yitei Bo Tchot Chila, we have Ein Adam Mitpayes B'Mumi. We're left with Cheskas Aguf. But Achelo Kitaris, if the Baal, on the other hand now, can prove that the women were here before the Kedushin, so then you've canceled out the Cheskas Aguf, right? Because now we know that they were here. And that at the time of the Kedushin, they were already around. So Hamed Guf HaKeskatoloi Kalamim. You can't anymore access the Cheskas Aguf Kenega the Cheskas Hamon, because we have witnesses that say that this woman was there before. So what's left? The fact that we could say to the Baal, but still, you went ahead and took her to the Chuppah, you wouldn't have done that. And that's what you're telling me. So it must be you knew about it, right? Ah, he can. And you rob in it payes. For that, the Baal will say, me know about it and accept it? No way. You know perfectly well that ein adam it payes b'mumin. And therefore, we would say hamid mamon al cheskato. In this case, we don't have the cheskas aguf to cancel the cheskas mamon. We have the same contradiction in the psychology. Would he have jumped into the marriage? No way. Keneged, would he have accepted mumin? No way. And those are contradictions. Okay, so forget about them. You're left now with the cheskas moment. Fine, the cheskas moment counts in this case because there's no cheskas aguf to cancel it out. The contradiction is, on the one hand, we're telling him that why did you go to the chuppah without checking her out? You knew perfectly well what the situation was. Don't give us any of this. And therefore you need to pay. On the other hand, he says, but wait a minute. You know that the psychological data is that people that are obsessed with mumin never get over it.
It's impossible that
would have known. If I would have known, there's no way I would have taken it. Right? So therefore, we have that balanced. And those are two chazakas. Note, I mean, these may or may not be valid issues, depending on whose approach is taken to sugya. But note that both of those things work in the same way. Those are both chazakas that offer us normative psychological data that give us an insight into how we should think about the case. They're Shlomo HaMelech type pastimes. They're not straight out halachic pastimes. They don't tell us what the halacha ought to be. They tell us what probably happened in the guy's mind.
Is that influential in how we can use them to balance the chart?
Yeah, it may well be. In other words, note that in effect what the sugya is really doing is that it's first of all taking the psychological data and balancing it according to both shittas, right? And then it's adding the machlokas where the Yashuv and Gamliel. This is why Rashi does it this way, stripping the issue down to an essential question of whether chazaka works essentially. Chazakas that have to do with the actual status of the events, that is, cheskas haguf, are they more powerful than cheskas mamon? Because first we look at what probably happened, and then we determine what halacha is. Or is cheskas mamon an absolute, like Rabbi Yoshua says? And there's no such thing as saying probably. There's no probably. A cheskas mamon is an absolute that doesn't have a problem. And therefore, because you want to change something that is, you can't do that. So we don't first paskin and then question. Okay. So that's one simple way of learning the sugya. We have three different types of chazaka over here. We're willing to balance out a chazaka against a chazaka if it's of the same set. And then we have a machlokas, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, about which of two types of chazaka, the other two types of chazaka. The chazaka on ownership is more powerful, whether the chazaka of ownership or the chazaka that defines the nature of the case, the status of our actual roof. Okay? As far as the other question, chazakas that have to do with iser, that already Rava pointed out. Now, don't confuse me. When it comes to chazakas of iser, a chazaka of a goof indeed is more important. Right? So in other words, if you're talking about the question, is this negatame? That's a chazaka of iser. There, forget about the whole cheskes mamon problem. So what we're trying to establish is how does the Torah wish us to proceed in terms of how we look at the halakhic reality? It doesn't really matter what happened. Maybe. Over there, it's a machlok. It's Rabbi Yoshua Nechafani. So Rabbi Yoshua says, no. We first, in that case, this is the amazing point that Rava is making. Because when it came to Mama and Rabbi Yoshua was saying, look, you can't first tell me what happened and then use your assumptive predictions, so to speak, statistics of what happened to take money away. Where can you do that when it comes to dinim? When it comes to dinim, the Torah wants you to do that. Paskin, what probably is the reality? Was the Seir Lavan first? Or was the Baharat first? Okay? I say over there, first take a look at Cheskas Haguf, then Paskin the Din. She's a Pnuya. She was a Pnuya. What do we say in terms of Halacha? Is she married? Or is this a Kedushin Betos? Now, wait a minute. That's a Halachic question. I agree, says Rabbi Yoshua. And this is what Rabbi was trying to point out. I agree. If it's a Halachic question, then indeed we first talk about, okay, what's the situation we're going to apply the Halacha to? We'll apply it to a case where we had a chazaka that she's a pnui, I guess, but on the other hand, we have a chazaka cheskas haguf, and that cheskas haguf tells me that she's married. So we're going to first establish a cheskas haguf and change the chazaka in the halacha that she's a pnui and say instead, you know what, this was a good marriage, but that won't affect the din of iksuda. Notice that all of this began with a Mishnah that started us on a path of distinguishing between the need for a get and the need for iksuda. And after that, we naturally have arrived at an insight into the fact that these are different realities as far as the Torah is concerned. And that we don't only have to make it dependent. In that case, we had no way out except saying maybe it was a suffix, right? Or maybe it was a derabbanan. Yeah, but here we've arrived at straightforward halachic considerations that indeed will apply differently in exactly the same case to determine whether she is married and requires a get, and on the other hand, to determine whether she needs exilah. Those are two different things. Because one is kineged, this is what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. One is kineged a cheskas mamon, and a cheskas haguf is irrelevant. One is kineged a halacha first. We take a look at what happened, then we pass the halacha. Right? Okay, so we're dealing now with different, completely different worlds in a sense. So, adarabah, chazaka ein adam efayis mamumin v'amid, momen al cheskasa. So now we have two very different approaches to the mission so far. Rabbi Loza's approach, which is tavra, that indeed the Mishnah is split between Rabbi Yoshua and between Rabbi Gamliel. So that the ratio that says that the father's got to prove it in order to be able to get a ksuva is going according to Rabbi Yoshua, because you can't take money away from the guy unless you can prove it. Masha'in came to Sefer that says, on the contrary, the husband's got to prove it, or else he's going to have to pay, is going according to Rabbi Gamliel. That we take a look at the woman, just like we did in all of the other cases, and we say, indeed, mi pi'ah nuvayim. The other explanation, Rava's explanation, assuming that's the Gerson, the Rava's explanation is that, no, actually there's a different principle which you guys forgot completely. And that is that the chazaka will always work according to the circumstances where the issue suddenly was raised. If you raise the issue in the house of the father, then we have to say, look, if the women are found here, then this is where they were, as far back as we know, until we know otherwise. So the last time I ate Sar and didn't have the moment, it's only then, and that was 5 years ago, and that was before my Kedushin. That's not enough, and I need to actually prove it was before the Kedushin. That's because of these other issues, of the Rav and Payez versus the Ein Adam et Payez moment, and so on, the two against one. That makes it complicated. But the complications are irrelevant, says Rav. Because again, if you're looking at the Mishnah, you want to strip the Mishnah down to the issues that the Mishnah is raising. So Rav Elazar was saying, stripping the issues down is much more powerful. Cheskes Mamon or Cheskes Hagush? I say, stripping the issues down, much more powerful. Kanim Tzu Karayu, or these other things. Okay, so Kanim Tzu Karayu, that's the issue. That's the only issue. There's no two different people. It was just Rishasabab. If you'll say, but what about, yeah, fine. I'm not saying don't take into consideration the other things. The Mishnah indeed does take it into consideration. That's why it distinguishes between Itarsa and non-Itarsa, which theoretically, just stripping down to the issue, shouldn't make a difference. But Rebbe Lazar also took into consideration a lot of external things. Because obviously, if the Mishnah even bothers mentioning Kanim Tzu Kanayu, Rishus Av, Rishus Abal, so that means that there's another issue over here that he's hinting at, at least, as Tosis points out. And that is the question of whether he wouldn't have jumped into the marriage. And it's there to tell me that let's not look at that connected to Cheskes Hagufa. So everybody is merames to the side issues. And the machlokas is, what is the central point of the Mishnah? That's all. And indeed, when you read this Mishnah, depending on your inclination but what's the real issue? You can easily see that if we were sitting across the table from each other and we didn't have a Gemara, one of us could have said, look, it's absurd to think that the Nafkamina is going to be where she happens to be. What does halacha have to do with where she happens to be? The only issue must be there's two shittas over here between the Reish and the Seif. And then you would scream and you would say, come on, so why does the Mishnah present it as if it makes an afkamina where it is? So I would have thought and come up with Tosis' explanation that it adds a dimension of chiddush. But then we could have started in the other direction. Look, the Mishnah is clearly saying it makes a difference where she was. What do we do with that? Must be that it's being makadish, that there's a din, that a chazaka is paskin according to the place where it's found. Because after all, in a sense, it's a fiction, a chazaka. We're trying to utilize this chazaka for the halacha. So the halacha is going to define it in terms of where the question came up, as we find in many issues. I see, you'll say, but what about the fact that there's not coming in this arts or lonis arts? So that's a real, that's a separate issue. You're right, there's other things that the Mishnah is being maramis on. Question of whether Adam is mitayis b'mumin, question of whether he wouldn't have jumped into a marriage, in Adam shel tevakos. So the point, again, is that a Mishnah is so information-rich, it's so densely packed with possibilities, and that's the incredible power of a Mishnah, that you can look at it and see two totally different worlds and understand in each case the many things that it would be maramis to, and it would make perfectly sense. Perfectly good sense.
At the same time as your Tristan's language.
That's how it's information dense. The more you talk, the less density by definition. Right? That's what density means. Okay, so again, let me remember, the Gemara says that Rebbe included 13 completely different approaches in every single Mishnah.
Wow.
So, the fact that we see two different approaches, new.
But it's an equal way.
Because it's only limited to 13 ways. Like this, who knows what could have happened in the universe with a completely different way of it. Seriously, that actually limits the expressions in nature as well. Because it's basically stakabir isabore alma. The more you constrict human vision, the less the universe exists for them in that way. It's the same thing. People who lived in other societies and so on, because of their systems of beliefs, were incapable of seeing the world the way that we've seen it open up. The world simply couldn't open up to them. They could not possibly understand the most fundamental things about the nature of reality because their minds didn't live in that reality. It's an unbelievable thing.
For whatever.
And sometimes these assumptions are so fundamental that there's no way that you can even explain it. It's an unbelievable thing, right? You try to explain to somebody of 200 discussions, we won't get very far. All right, so we've got two different approaches to our Mishnah. So far, okay. That's so far. We'll see that there's more. Rav Ashi says, I've got another approach. And here's my approach. Basically, the Reisha, when she's in the Reshus, I say, yes, the Reshus matters, but not because there's some magical connection to the space in which something is raised. There's something that's connected to the To'im. Who is demanding the money if she's Rishus Aviyah?
The
father. The father is attempting to use her status against the Baal. Maybe even according to most Rishonim, although Rashi doesn't include this. Her Bori against the Baal. What does he know? Right, that makes a big nafkamina, because according to some Rishonim, if most Rishonim actually, if he would tie a Bori, it shouldn't make any nafkamina. Because if the father also says, look, I know she didn't have it, don't come and tell me. So the point over here is, again, remember that Rashi has stripped things down to exclude Bori Veshema from the discussion, because the sugya is only interested in the discussion of Chazaka, not on the Kayach HaTanya. So Rashi's yesod is, which nobody else that I know of agrees with, is that you cannot use someone else's Cheskas HaGuf in your Taina against the third party. And since the father is going to be the one who's collecting over here, if it's still versus Ab, so Mamela, he has got to bring a Raya because he doesn't have her Cheskas HaGuf behind him. Because everybody yells at Rashi. Doesn't Cheskas HaGuf work as a description of reality vis-a-vis the halakha? So what's the difference? Who's the one that's bringing the Taina? You see that Rashi understands that what Ravashi is saying is that a Cheskas HaGuf has nothing to do with reality. Cheskas HaGuf simply has to do with your, the kayak of your Taina. And therefore, the father cannot use her Cheskas HaGuf. It's astounding. But in any event, you can see why there'd be many grounds not to say that word. But the way Rashi is learning the point over here is, Ravashi Amar, the Reisha is the equivalent of saying, Mona La'av of Yadav. A guy comes along and says, look, you know, my father lent you money. Okay, so he's not coming from his time. He's coming trying to collect the father's money. Again, back in the Sugya, this has everything to do with Bori Veshema. Do you know whether he was paid back? So on and so forth. Whereas this, so over there, he's not believed. But the Sefer is talking about Bona Levi Adefa, because over there, it's the woman who's going to be now collecting, because she already was, went to the Chor, she's Bursha Sabah. She wants to collect her Ksuba. She's demanding the Ksuba. She has a right to do that with the Cheskas HaGuf. And now if he wants to argue with her, he's got to bring absolute proof against her Cheskas HaGuf. That's the issue over here, says Rav Ashi. And yet a third approach to the mission. Eisvei Rav Acha, Brei Rav Avila Rav Ashi, how could you say that the whole point over here is that the father can't use her Cheskas HaGuf? That actually, if this is the kind, this is what we think it means now, if this is the kind of mum that could have been there from before, then the father is going to have to prove that that it wasn't there before. Really? Why would the father have to prove it? I mean, if she's already in Rosh Hashanah, according to you, Amai, Mono Libi Adefu, this is the case of Mono Libi, and her Cheskas HaGuf should help. No, not from Amai Askinan, be a teret. It's talking about over here, she's got an extra limb. Now that certainly didn't suddenly happen.
What about anonymous bias to moving?
It doesn't matter, it didn't ask the Gemara, what are you talking about? You tear it. So what, he's going to bring a riot? That, no, well I'm telling you, I got witnesses that say she only had one head when she was in my Rishus, so she must have grown the other head in your Rishus. Who's going to believe such a thing? What do you mean? How could such a thing be? My riot, my thing. What riot could he possibly bring that would be believed against nature?
But obviously that he knew.
Ah! Beautiful. Might he arrive at Rav in his place? He would bring a riot. That's his riot. Not that the moon wasn't there, but that it must be. I know that you saw it. If you saw it.
Can't miss it. There was a reason why she was running the three-legged race by herself.
Four minutes. Listen, I mean, Scott's got four-legged races in him. He sent me the picture.
Oh, with the Hindu...
Unbelievable.
Oh, I see it.
Unbelievable.
Eight limbs.
Eight limbs on a human being.
See that?
Right. Okay.
I didn't know. Are we...
Omer, yeah. You mind if we continue? I mean, we had so much philosophy. We'll catch up a little bit more. Omer, if you don't know, Hamachlif Parabach Amor. You might not have noticed that we were talking about this case.
It was a donkey.
Okay, but this is the case. The reason we're bringing this up, of course, is because we're going to end up cutting into a question of a Cheskas HaGuf, and we're going to try to use this as ammunition in understanding our mission. So now, one case where we could have a Cheskas HaGuf that we need to determine. If I do Chalitin, normally if I make a Kinyan, I'm basically going to have to pick up the thing, or the Moshe, depending on what type of thing it is, or take it in my Rishus, in order for me to have a Kinyan on it. So if I would buy your Chamor, then the only way that I could buy it would be to be Kinyan, it would be I'd have to take it. If it died before I pulled it, then I never took it. Right? Now, the question is, there's a whole different type of Kinyan, which is called Kinyan Chalitin. Kinyan Chalipin works by, let's just trade. So the din is, let's say I want to trade my cow for your donkey. The moment that you take the cow,
I don't need to take the donkey.
Okay.
Or vice versa.
So, what happened over here is that the owner of the donkey wasn't here. The donkey was back in his barn. So the donkey owner, Moshe Bala Chamorat HaPara, he now takes the para. The Bala HaPara comes now to the barn to pick up his chamor. There they are, they come to the barn, he wants to pick up the chamor is dropped dead. Uh-huh. Now, the question is, in whose rishus did it drop dead? That's the shot. al bala chamor la viraya shayat chamoro kayam b'shat mishichat hapara. The bala chamor has to prove that his donkey was alive, because otherwise what good was his taking the pora as chalipin when the object of the chalipin may not have existed anymore?
The old bala, the previous bala chamor.
The original bala chamor.
The original, not the guy who's coming to take it.
Correct. No. He was the assumptive bala until this bala. The Tana Tuna, and indeed, this is clearly expressed by the Tana in the case of Kala. Our Mishnah, exactly this case. Any fool can see that our Mishnah tells us what the din is of the chamor.
Well, I'm the fool, so I still tell you why.
Only a chamor wouldn't be able to see that. It's straight out there, Tana Tana Kula.
Kala. Now, so the donkey owner wants the donkey to be alive.
Correct, because then he gets the part.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this is very challenging. Yes, the Gemara. Which case of Kala exactly are we talking about? We've got two cases of Kala, right? It's a high Kala. Okay. Which of the two cases in the Mishnah is so obviously that you're saying it's clear, Tana Tana Tuna Kala? Okay. So is it, this is amazing discussions. Now, you can imagine saying something like this, requiring 40 steps to get to the point that it's quite clear. And then you try to figure out, okay, what were those steps that led you to this? It's so clear. So, is it the case of the Kala Bebet Avia? All right, talk about the first case, right? So the Kala is in the house of the father, and the father, it says over there, the father's got now to bring this Raya, that the Munin appeared later. And you're saying the same thing for over here. Here the Chamor is in the Rishus of the owner. It's in his barn. So he's going to have to bring the Raya that this Chamor died later, which is the equivalent of these Munin appeared later. After the Baal already got it, and here it died later, after the Baal HaPorah already got it. That's what you're saying, that's what it seems to be. Yeah, but I mean, obviously, halakhically, that doesn't add up at all. Me, dummy, what's the connection? I don't see this. Hasam Maisei Ha'av Raya Umafik. I mean, over there, the father has to bring a Raya, because he's a Motzimech HaVarol of a Raya. Because he's taking away money, right? So he's going to take the money away from the Baal in payment of the Tuba. So you're trying to learn and say, well, that proves that the guy over here, who now has the pora in his hand, right? He let him bring a raya. That what? That he can keep what's in his hands? Why does that have to be a raya to keep? It's already in his hands. I don't understand. How can you bring a raya from a case where you're trying to take money away from a person? Over here, I already got the pora. I'm holding the pora, and I'm claiming that, look, man, this chamor was already yours. Now you want to do something about it? You want to take the para away from me? Prove that I'm wrong. But I own the para. I'm holding the para. I'm a mozik in the para. I'm not to make a verol of a raya works in the opposite case. I don't see that it's the same at all.
Doesn't this chazak only work if the chamor was alive?
Possibly. All to be discussed. Okay, that actually the Shita discusses that as a central point in the Gemara. Who do we first decide whether there was a chamor there for the kinyan to have actually worked? For me to be holding right. The para, or do we say, look, I mean, but the fact is the para is in your hands, you're trying to take it out of your hands. That's the question that David is raising. Let's leave that until Sunday, until the Shabbos. But meanwhile, let's just take it to Truta. So it looks on the surface like it's similar, but once you start thinking about it, you realize it's not the same at all. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba, Sir Baba, you know what Shmuel must have meant? Shmuel must have meant the other Kala. The Kala of Beit Chamia. What we're talking about over here is the Seifa. So the Seifa says, the Baal has to be a maybe Raya. Why is he having a maybe Raya? Because the din is that the cheskas aguf is going to be sufficient to be motzi, right, and take it away from you. Okay, so therefore, this is not a raya that is coming to be motzi. This is a raya that's coming to be mafzik, and that's what we're trying to do over here. You have the part of Mr. Chamor owner, right, and you're trying to keep that ownership on the part that's already in your hands. So that is similar to the case of the Baal who's trying to keep the money. That's already in his hands. And it says over here that he's going to have to prove that these things happened before. And you're saying that's the case over here. The Chamor is going to have to, the Palak Mor is going to have to prove that it happened afterwards. Yeah, but Akati Lo Dami. No, but it's backwards. It's backwards. Because over here, the Hatam Baal Maite Rayo Marale Lacheskiyat. Over here, what's going to happen over here is that he's bringing a Raya. He needs to bring a Raya against the Chazorka, and that's his problem. What am I going to do about the cheskas haguf that the father is using to taina against me that this mum appeared later after she was married and therefore I should have to pay and that's why I have to bring that raya? But over here, the Baal HaChamor has to bring a raya? What? To prove that the chamor was alive? The chamor was alive. The question over here, the cheskes haguf of the chamor, is that would have been alive. So over here, there the cheskes haguf is against the Baal. That's why the Baal has to bring a raya. But over here, the cheskes haguf is for the Baal, in this case, the Baal hachamor.
Even though it's dead right now.
Well, here too, there's a mum right now. It's the same situation. We should apply the cheskes haguf. You're applying them in the opposite direction. You're making me crazy. No matter how I look at the mission, it doesn't add up at all. Neither case is the same as this case. So what are you telling me? That this is clear from the Mishnah about Kala? Well, it doesn't seem to me to be clear at all. To be continued with Tosha.
Really?
Yeah. 8 o'clock. We say. Okay, at least we're getting closer to the end of the time. Before we were on an hour. Just remember where we were up to. We had a minor in which Shmuel is quoted by Rabbi Yehuda. We've already learned to have little doubts about Rabbi Yehuda's quotes of Shmuel, if you remember, because of Roni, his brother. But so far, we've been following along Yehuda's quotes of Shmuel, and according to which, Shmuel said an amazing thing, that in the case in which you made a chalip of a pora and a chamor, and you find that the chamor is dead, now the question is, in whose rishus it had died? So he says that from our Mishnah of Kala, we have a raya that the Baal HaChamor has to bring a raya that the Chamor was Kayam B'Sha'at Chalipi. So we were a little bit confused about that because we couldn't figure out where exactly would the raya be from our Mishnah, which Kala. So first the Gemara wanted to say the raya is from the Reisha of the Mishnah. Kala B'Beit Aviyah. Kala B'Beit Aviyah says the Gemara isn't, it's not really the same over there. The reason that we have to have a raya over there is because he's being Meitzei Mechaveh, right? Because he wants to take a Ksuvah now from the Baal. But over here, the Baal HaChamor is going to bring a raya in order to keep his money, because he's already muchzek in the pora, which means that it's a completely different... Well, how can you prove that a guy would have to bring a raya not to be mitzi from a mishnah that's talking about bringing a raya to be mitzi? So that's no good. So then we tried saying, so maybe it's going in Kala B'Beit Chamiya. Kala B'Beit Chamiya is not the same either, because over there, the Cheskas HaGuf was keneged the Baal, so Mameli has to bring a raya that the woman's status changed, that the woman appeared earlier. But, I mean, over here, with the Cheskes HaGuf is on his side, because the Chamor was alive before. So we should assume, in terms of Cheskes HaGuf, that the Chamor continues to be alive. So it makes no sense either. That's where we were up to. Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak. So today we're holding now on the sixth line down. Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak. What Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel must have been referring to is the case of Kala B'Beit Aviyah. In fact, it's the Reisha of the Mishnah. So what was your problem? Your problem was that the Reisha of the Mishnah over there for bringing a raya, it's in order to be meitzi, because he wants to take a ksuba from the Baal and wants to bring all of a raya. Right? And therefore, you can't compare it to the case where he's already muksik in the Bora. That was the problem. We're not talking about the money that he wants to be meitzi, says Rav Nachman. We're talking about the money that he already has. And we're referring to the case of Kiddush. That's the point. Av won't be able. If he wants to hold on now to the Kesef Kiddushin, so in that case, he's going to be now mukin. And therefore, it's exactly the same case. So it's talking about the Kiddushin, not to be meitzi, but to hold on to the Kiddushin. Nonetheless, ala avla viraya, you see from here, that is exactly the same. He wants to hold on now to his pora, al bala chamor la viraya, the same way that the av has to bring a raya in order to hold on to his Kiddushin, even though it's in his rishos. And don't think, says the Gemara, lo tema, al libe de mandiona Kiddushin lav le tibu'in nitna. There's a machloket when somebody gives kiddushin in a case where, let's say, the kala dies. So is that kiddushin given now with taking the full risk? So it's tibuin, meaning he's ready to drown with it, so to speak, and the money can go down under sea, so to speak, so that it's lost or not. So the pashtus is what I'm saying, that the kiddushin money is supposed to be given back. That has to be said, that Kiddushin is lav l'tibuin, because over here, the fact that now the thing is going to become batel, so l'chera, that's saying I have to give it back. But according to Rabbi Yomar, says I give it, even if something goes wrong. No. That's talking about where the Kiddushin was. Kiddushin vadai, and then she died. That's a different issue. But over here, the Kiddushin gufa, we have a suffix, and he's saying the Kiddushin is also not a Kiddushin, because it was a mekach ta'ut. And if that's something else, a mekach ta'ut, obviously, is not dependent on the machlokas of tibuin. So we have a Kiddushin ta'ut. No, over there you have to bring a raya, because it could be the Kiddushin wasn't the Kiddushin. Okay, the Kiddushin was definitely a Kiddushin. Now the shayla is, was the money of the Kiddushin given on this das? But over here, maybe the Kiddushin wasn't a good Kiddushin. Therefore, everybody would agree over the money of the Kiddushin has to be given back, unless you would bring a raya.
I can't understand what your translation of Tibuin is.
I said it four times. I can't say it more clearly than that. I said you'd go under it. You're ready to go under with it. Did I not say? You're not wondering why I'm using that funny lusher? You were talking to him? Four times? Faze me. It's like the old days we had with Talmud.
Thank you.
Fine. Says the Gemara, I have a problem with this. Meisvei, machat, shenimtzei, debovi, beit hakosot, mitzad achat kshira, mishnei tzadim treifa. Because we have our famous case over there where we know that it's only considered to be a hole that makes a treifa. If it goes through both walls of the beit hakosot, which is one of the stomachs of it, something else, one of the stomachs of a ruminant, and over there, if you find that the machat is only halfway in, so it went through part of the wall of the beit hakosot, so then it's kosher. If you find that it went through both, so then it's treifa. Now, the shaila is like this. When did it happen? Because it might have happened after the shkita in the butchery that this thing got in there. So now, if it's nimtza le'akoret dam b'yadua shel lifnei shkita, lo nimtza le'akoret dam b'yadua shel acher shkita. So that's a clear-cut siman. If there was no bleeding, then it obviously it happened after the animal was already dead. Hu glad piyamaka. Now, suppose it was bleeding, but there's already a scab. So there's a scab, then b'yadua shel shlosha yamim kodem shkita. That means that this event takes place 3 days before the Shkita. If, however, there's no way now to know that it was definitely there 3 days ago, and now we have a fight. So the guy who bought the animal, Tainas, he's the tabach, he's a butcher, he went ahead and he bought an animal, he says, you sold me a treif animal. The other guy says, the seller says, well, who says it was a treif when I sold it to you? That happened in your shows. I don't think.
It's not a problem.
Because
it's after death. It's after Shkita.
No.
No.
Of course not. Starting that over here that there was done, it went through.
There was
done. Yes, it just wasn't hukat. So we can't prove how long ago it was. So now we have it, we have an issue of who's the one that's gotta pay. So it says over here for Shlosha Yamim, now we won't have a Shlosha Yamim. So then the halacha is I'm making a Kamarol of Araya. Now what does that mean? That means that Yoif Tabach Dami, suppose the butcher would already have spent his money, right? He's gonna have to now boil his suya raya umafik. It means he's going to bring a raya now and take his money back. Why? Am I? Ba'al be'ma laisei raya v'nukim. According to what Shmuel just said, this is exactly the case of Shmuel. The way you're claiming that Shmuel said it, so over here we should say exactly the same thing. If you hold, according to Shmuel, the Baal, the mocher, in other words, of the behemoth, even though he's holding the money, just like over here, the Baal HaChamor is holding the money, in this case the para, you said that the Baal HaChamor has to bring a raya, that the Chamor was still alive. So over here, the Baal HaBehema should have to bring a raya, that the Behema was not a trefer, which obviously he can't bring. And yet you're saying it's dependent on Motzi Bekabal of a raya, that the Tabak has to bring a raya. And he has to be Motzi his mom from the cellar. So therefore, Shmuel does not work out according to this whole Mishnah. Big problem. Says the Gemara. What's that? English.
And the farmer who sells the behemah, is he responsible that when they shut it, they won't find a needle in the stomach? Is he responsible for it? A butcher buys a behemah.
Yes, you are responsible. Not responsible, but you cannot sell a treif animal. It's a mekachtos. I bought an animal from you to shecht and to eat, and you sold me an animal that I can't eat. It's not a fault issue. This is a no-fault insurance. The shaila is whether you sold me the animal that I wanted to buy, or had I known I never would have bought. If I had known I never would have bought, then it's a mekachtos. Give me my money back. I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm just saying it's not what I wanted to buy. So over here, we got a problem. Sister Gemara, is it really such a terrible problem? I mean, couldn't we just say, v'nukim, but lo yoif tachardani? The Tana is saying, mamotz mechavar levarai, but it doesn't mean in any case, mamotz mechavar levarai. He means, in other words, assuming that the tabach had not yet paid, and now the Baal HaBeima wants money from the tabach, the tabach has to bring a raya. The Baal HaBeima has to bring a raya. Maybe that's the only case he's referring to. My ask, what do you mean? That's ridiculous. Maybe it's the only case he's referring to. Thomas has a statement, a motz mechavar levarai, and you slice it down the middle, you say, well, it means a motz mechavar levarai, assuming everything else adds up. And then it's the case where he didn't pay money. The seller wants the money back, then it's a motz mechavar levarai, and it's crazy. That's for sure not a way out. Forget it. So Shmuel's in big trouble. Ella, of course, once again, kiyosa Rami Bar Yecheskel. So when Rami Bar Yecheskel now came in from Bavo, so he said, these things that my brother Yehuda was also Yehuda Bar Yecheskel. So these things that my brother tells you, I told you, never listen to them. He's completely confused. Look, it's like, Tino Lani Klala, the Kao Yehuda Achim Yishmei Shmuel. He's completely mixed up. Hoki Omar Shmuel, in fact, what Shmuel said was the opposite. Shmuel said, Koshin Olatza Feg Brushuto, Olav Arayam. He said, basically, that the approach over here would be, like Rava. But Rava said that if the issue is kan nimtzu kan hayu, that's a klal. And therefore, wherever it was neilad in his rishus, he's the guy that has to now bring a raya. This is the suffix. The suffix is wallis by me. I have to bring the raya, whether it's to be marxed, or whatever the case will be. Vitana tuna, of course we're going to get to the same question in a minute. Vitana tuna kala. And indeed, it's clearly stated by the Tana in the Mishnah of Kala. Okay, now, the question is between the two Lashonos. Let's go back for a minute and talk about the Raya from Kala when it's talking about the Kesef Kiddushin. Rashi's understanding is it's talking about the Raya from Kala because it's going Aliba now, the approach in the Gemara that we hold, whether it's in the Reish or the Sefer, are two separate mandiyamim. That was our first chat, Rebbe Elazar's chat in the Sugya, that says that the Reish is going, I'll leave the Rebbe Yoshua. And that means that he would have argued in the Sefer of the Mishnah also. He would have said the father, according to him, the father always has to bring the Raya, even though the Suffolk isn't in his Rishos. And Memela, that's not considered to be Lahaitzi, because he also has to bring a Raya in order to be Marzi, because of Kiddush. Says Rashi, now, I'm sure that's bothering you. Very interesting discussion. I'm sure you're wondering why I'm being mefarish. Usually Rashi doesn't do this. I'm sure you're wondering why I would be mefarish the Mishnah that's going to Afka Liba Rebbe Eliezer's Pshat. Why can't I say it's going according to Rava? Why can't I say it's going according to Abayim? So it's because according to them, according to both of them, it's going to be dependent on where it is that it happened. It's only according to Rebbe Eliezer that's not dependent where it is that it happened. Because according to Abayim, according to Rava's Pshat, it's completely defined by where it happened. Kan Nimtzu, Kan Hayu. And Shmuel is completely ignoring that. All he's saying is that the halacha is, at least the way Rabbi Yehuda was quoting it, that the din over there is that you even though you're a machzik, you're going to have to go ahead and bring a raya. So therefore, doesn't matter where it would be. Basha ain't came, and even if you learn, says Rashi, this is Bispar Tazar, even if you learn a Ravashi, it also matters where it is, not because of the location, but because of the din that it's mana la'aba biyadecha. If you're not being toveya, you're not the one that's the father that's getting the money, but then the whole mishnah changes if it's the woman who's getting the money. So therefore, I can't possibly be mefarish the Gemara according to anybody else, except Rebbe Elazar. So according to Rebbe Elazar, Ein Afinami, the Reish and the Sefer would both say that the Av would have to be bringing a Raya. And that's what Shmuel was saying, Tana Tana Kala.
In Rebbe Baruch.
No. The opposite. In Yehuda Baruch Hesko. On the contrary, in Rami by Yecheskel, it is dependent on where it is. He's going, I'll leave it a Rav.
You just read that and then started explaining that I lost the thread.
But I said, I'm going back and explain the two pshatim. And I said, I'll leave it a Yehuda.
Okay.
So it means that the difference between the two Lashonos is a difference in how to understand the Mishnah. Whether the Mishnah is going, I'll leave it a Rebbe Elazar's spirit. Remember, we have three Purushim in the Mishnah. Let's remind you. According to Rebbe Elazar, the Mishnah was stated by two separate Tanaim. The Rishon was stated by Rebbe Yoshua. And we spoke about its being in the Rishus of the Av, not because that's important, but because it tells us an additional side point that a Cheskas Haguf is always, according to Rabbi Yeshua, is never as strong as a Cheskas Mama, and therefore we ignore it in the case of a Cheskas Mama, and we want to say it's in the Rishus of the Father, because you shouldn't confuse yourself by thinking that it has to do with the fact of Ein Adam Shoteh Bakos, Elin Kein Bot Kotfila, right? So in other words, let's talk about this case. Fine. According to Rabbi Elazar, the Seifa is going like Bedavka, Mipio Anuchayin, like Rabbi Gamliel. And that's the point of the mission. He would have said the same thing in the Reisha. Right? We are Chayim Mipio. Right. According to Rava, the point in the mission is that the Reisha and the Sefer are said by the same Mandiyama, but, and according to some, this is not the way that Rashi said, but according to some, it's irrelevant whether it's Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Gamliel, because they learned that the Tzitzugya is talking about Shema V'Shema. And in Shema V'Shema, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua never argued. So therefore, forget about Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. We're talking now in a case where there's a different issue, whether Kan Nimtzu, Kan Hayu. So in the case, both cases are the same. In the case where it was found in the father's Rishos, then we assume that it appeared in the father's Rishos before the Kiddushin, and he has to bring the Raya. In the case where they found in the Baal's Rishos, so we assume that they appeared in the Baal's Rishos. And he's the one that has to bring the Raya, that it was other than our assumption. Yeah? And we had Ravashi's approach, according to which, in the Reisha, since the father is the one now who is going to be getting the money, and the cheskas aguf is on the daughter, not on the father, you can't apply the cheskas aguf of the daughter to the father's tfiyah. Mashenkin, in the second case, in the seifa, it's the same individual who has the cheskas aguf is going to be keeping the money, because she was already nechnaset lechupa. She's in the suah. So if she's divorced now, she's the one who gets the money. So if that's the case, it's mono libi adecha. Those were the three approaches to the Mishnah. Very simple, very straightforward. Now, according to those three approaches, we have different ways of recognizing what Shmuel's raya was from the Mishnah. Aliba Yehuda by cheskas, aliba Rami by cheskas. So therefore, Rashi understands that according to the way we understood the Mishnah, like Reb Nachman here, Shmuel, the way Reb Nachman explained what Yehuda was quoting in the name of Shmuel, was that we're talking about the Kesef Kiddushin, not the Kesef that the Mishnah was referring to, which is to be Maitzi moment for the Ksuvah. We're talking about the money for the Kiddushin that the father wants to hold on to. So if we're going to be bringing a raya to Shmuel, we've got to be bringing a raya from a case which is similar to the case where the Baal HaChamor is going to have to be bringing a raya, because that's what Shmuel is talking about. And the one that's muchzik in the money would still have to be bringing a raya. So therefore, says Rashi, it can't matter if that's the case in whose house we find the suffix. Therefore, it can't be going according to Rava. It can't matter because this was not an issue in Shmuel. It can't matter whether there's a cheskas aguf that's backing him or backing her. That's irrelevant to Shmuel. So therefore, the only way I could possibly learn the Mishnah as a raya is if it's going according to Rav Elazar, and we're saying that in the case where the father wants to hold on to the kesef kedushin, he has to bring a raya. Ala avla viraya. Tosfos says.
So to the Baal HaChamor who was already paid.
The Baal HaChamor was already paid with the para. Wants to hold on to his para, then he can't hold on to it unless he brings a raya. That was Rami Bar. That was Yehuda Bar Yecheskel's trap in Shmuel. Fine. Comes along now the Gemara and shows that this is a problem from the din of the Tabach, because the Tana says that Yehuda Lavi Raya no matter where. It has nothing to do with now the Baal HaChamor. The Tabach now would be bringing the raya, even though the Tabach is bringing the raya. It would have to, and we can't assume that it's talking about where the Tabach didn't pay, and it's talking about that the seller would bring a raya because that's Poska. So comes along now Rami Bar Yecheskel, and he says that's not the pshat in the Mishnah. The pshat in the Mishnah is going, I'll leave it to Rava, and Shmuel's raya was to a completely different understanding of what Shmuel had said, and what Shmuel actually said was, whosoever in Rishus it's in, he's the guy now that has to bring the raya, which is exactly what the Mishnah would be saying, I'll leave it to Rava, kan nimsu, kan hayu. Okay? Now, I want to just make an aside statement, so please don't get confused by this. This is the simple pshat in the Gemara, I'll leave it to Rashi. However, since this is such a major sugya all over Shas, the Dinim of Chazakah, I just want you to know that it's not as simple as it seems, for a number of reasons. First of all, what exactly is the relationship between kan nimtzu kan hayu and the din of misha nimtzu berishuzay? Those are not the same thing. Kan nimtzu kan hayu seems to be talking about the physical place where it happens. Whereas what we're talking about is the reshus of whom? The physical place that it happened in the chamor was in the barn of the guy who originally owned the chamor. But the Gemara is saying that we're bringing a raya is the one in whose reshus, meaning was it after the kinyan HaKalibin or before? Those don't seem to be the same. So the truth is that the Rif understands that the meaning of what Rami was saying from Shmuel is not in the reshus, meaning in the legal reshus, but in the reshus, in the physical reshus. And that's the only way that we're comparing it to what Rava had said for kan nimtzu kan hayu, because that language of kan nimtzu kan hayu does not seem to be language that implies the legal rights of the person that is being tevea. It seems to be describing a spatial relationship to a status quo, exactly. However, none of the other Rishayim that I know of agree with the Rif, and they understand it to be Rishus Kibshutai, the legal Rishus. Which, of course, is exactly the opposite pshat, because the Baal HaChamor is now the place in which the Chamor is in the Rishus of the Baal HaChamor. Masha'in Kain, if you're talking about money, the guy who has to, is the owner. The owner is the other guy, is the Baal HaPora. And therefore, he's the one that's now going to be the one that has to bring the raya, because it was Naila Berishus, right? After the beginning of Khalif. And it's a very opposite pshat in them. And in fact, Lahalacha, we don't pass him like the Rif in this. Which means that we would have to reanalyze, because everybody else is claiming this is not a fourth pshat in the Mishnah. This is going on, leave it a Rava. Both Rashi and Tosfos agree with that. Furthermore, the question of whether you go according to this halacha of the ones in whose legal reshus something is, means that this entire din is a din in mominus. It is not a din in defining sveikot that would have to do, for instance, with the issue of beit hakosot.
That's Isser.
In other words, let's say that you have cheese from this animal. That was packaged for the past month, right? Okay, can that cheese be eaten or not? So you say, well, the suffix was only Naila in the guy who bought it yesterday, so there's certainly no problem in eating the cheese. No. That's not true. You found the animal with a trait, but there's a problem in eating the cheese. Because what it is that you're telling me, the one who has the animal, that's the question of the Motzi Mechaver Laraya, that's a question of the legalities of ownership. It's not a din and iser.
We have a rabbinical issue here also, because we're dealing with Isser
Mominus. Yes, we certainly do, but we'll see that they're because of the involvement of others in the machlokas that it doesn't necessarily follow the rule. That also is a big machlokas. But anyways, you could see that there's a lot of issues here that need to be taken into consideration. One additional aside is that Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, who claims that according to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the din would be the riot from Kala is only going according to Rabbi Elazar. For many reasons, not the least of which is that Shmuel himself paskins against Rabbi Yoshua. So how could he possibly be bringing a riot from Rabbi Yoshua? Now Rashi asks that kasha on himself, And he says, but the truth is that in the end we drop this. But Tosfos says this is nuts. I mean, what are we going to bring a raya from somebody that he holds the opposite of him? Or what was that, even if we don't hold stand by it? He brings many other rayas for the hemshech of the sugya as well, which I don't want to get into the details. He understands that we could be going like Rav Ashi. And he says an amazing thing. He said, how could we be going like Rav Ashi? According to Rav Ashi, it's a question of mana l'ava b'yadefa, mana li b'yadefa. He says that the cheskas haguf of the chamor cannot help the tevea. The same way the cheskas haguf of the woman can't help the father. And it's got to be her own cheskas haguf. That's what Rav Ashi was saying. Well, that's like Rashi's shot before that everybody was upset about in the extreme. Okay, so it's an additional interesting side point. Now getting back to the sugya. Asks the Gemara now on Rami Bar Yecheskel's quote of Shmuel. And it's like this. Same question. He asks from Mesve. Makat shenim tseba ovi beit akosot. And so on, right? So now, if the tabach had not paid, here's the same question in the inverse. If the tabach had not paid, who then has to bring the raya? The one who wants to get paid, right? Bal habeima. Boila tuye raya umafik. Because it says over here, hamotzi michavero olav araya. But in whose rishus was the suffik noilat? Only after the shmita. It was already in the rishut of the tabach, correct? So if the tabach hadn't paid, so if this is the case, amat sveika berishut tabach it yalid, the tabach should have to bring the raya according to Shmuel, and yet the Tana is saying that I'm about to make a vow of a raya that the seller has to bring a raya. So don't we have the same kasha on Shmuel from this Mishnah, Aliba the Rami by Yecheskel, except of course in the opposite direction? Answers the Gemara will have to be saying that it's talking about that the tabach had paid. Now of course we tried that kind of answer before and we said it's ridiculous. When the Tana says I'm about to make a vow of a raya, you can't say, assuming that we set up everything in the right way, I'm about to make a vow of a raya. And now that's what you're trying to say. This was good for the kasha that triggered Rami by Yecheskel's response of, don't pay any attention to my brother, right? So how can we say this? Ask the Gemara the same question. Amar Paska. What do you mean? So now we split it into two arbitrarily? If, assuming everything is set up properly, then I'm going to make a little riot. That's crazy. See, well, no, here it's not crazy, see? Because stoma de milta kam de liyavinish zuzei, liyavinish liyosa. Normally, the din is, the minag is, that nobody's going to sell you an animal until you pay. Then I want to get into arguments later on about this kind of thing. So in the mail, you pay your money, you take your chances. You go off with the animal. So that's not called Pascha, because then we're talking about the norm. So there we could say, I'm about to make a vow of a raya, because that would be the case. 99.9 right? In the other case, it's Mamish Pascha. It's talking about only in a case where Tabach didn't get money. Why in the world would the Tana made a statement that needed to be explained in a way that contradicts the norm? That doesn't make sense. Okay, so we're now taking this to mean only in one direction, where the Tabach was Yoyiv Zuza, and Shmuel therefore could stand in a case where we say, Rava's Pshat in the Mishnah, and bring a raya from the din of Kan Nimtzu Kan Hayu, which becomes now the equivalent of Man the Nimtza Safik Berishus. Okay? V'chachamim omrim v'amet, v'orim amurim v'mumim sh'beseter. Omrim nachman v'nich pekabumim sh'beseter don. If somebody has epilepsy, so then that's considered to be mumim sh'beseter. Why? Because how would people know about that? But, since epileptic fits could come at any time, it's a rather strange thing to say that people wouldn't know that someone doesn't have epilepsy. So therefore, the only time we would say that epilepsy is kibum mishu beseter is hani milin de kaviyel ezma. It's only if a fit comes at particular times with a particular stimulus. So over there, you can avoid the public presence at a time of such stimulus. You know, you don't want to be outside at such and such time of the day, but whatever it is.
Struggling.
Yeah.
They have exactly. Dogs. They have trained dogs that can sense when a person
is about
to have a seizure.
Yeah.
That's astounding.
Yeah.
What would they do about it?
They can put them in a place where they'll be ready for dealing with it properly. Cut the amount of time it takes.
Yeah. It's a small thing. Yeah. Avalo kaviyah, come on, mitzvah begodui doni. If there's no kaviyah, there's no way to know when not to go out, then there's bound to be a point at which people will find out about it. You can't say, I didn't know about it, because that shows up in the inquiries.